Good morning. Warm welcome to everyone. It's great to see everyone here this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and each and every one of us will be richly blessed by being here. Special welcome to anyone visiting our church today. It's good to have you with us. And it's great to have with us the Reverend Bill Nixon from the Mustard Seed. Good to see you, Bill, and we'll be hearing from Bill in a short while. Welcome to Bill. Now then, before I hand you over to Laurie, yesterday was a pretty significant occasion for a couple in our church. Norman and Sheila Walsh celebrated 62 years wedding anniversary. Well done, Norman and Sheila. Congratulations to them. And also yesterday, a very significant birthday, Mrs. Alice Francis was 100 years old. We're going to stand and sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Alice, happy birthday to you.
There was a very moving celebration of Alice's birthday at the Half Century in Carstairs yesterday. And at one occasion, there were three people sitting together. There were Alice and two other ladies, and each of them was 100 years old. Each of them, 100 years old. One was 101. There you go. Wasn't that something? How often do you get that together, all together at one time? That was just quite amazing. And on that topic, we will be celebrating October birthdays shortly after Laurie gets finished with the announcements. What else was I going to say? Yes, following the service today, of course, we will be having a little get-together, a Mustard Seed-style meal, celebrating Bill being with us here today. And also, there is a cake there, which is celebrating Alice's birthday. And it's from Norman and Sheila. And I think he said, and from Reg. And who else did you say, Norm? Who else? Ray and Joy. So they brought this cake, so that's for everybody to celebrate. We're going to be quite well fed by the time we leave here today. Yeah. It's going to be pretty good. So let me get out of your way and hand you over to Laurie. Thanks, Laurie.
Good morning. Next Saturday night is change your clock night, so don't forget to set 1 hour back next Saturday night. There is a Remembrance Day service Friday, November 11th at 10:30 at the Community Hall. Living Beyond Yourself, Exploring the Fruit of the Spirit Bible Study has resumed, and it's Thursdays at 10. New people are always welcome, so even if you haven't come in the past, you're more than welcome. And just ask Sandy Reed if you'd like more information. Mustard Seed gifts. If you wish to donate new winter clothing for the Mustard Seed, you may place these items in the tub in the foyer. And we had a question. Is there actually a tub in the foyer? Because we couldn't find one this morning.
Yes.
There is one. Okay. And so that's toques, gloves, scarves, socks, and it will be there until the 27th of November. Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes for Samaritan's Purse will be assembled on November the 10th meeting of the Ladies Christian Fellowship. Donations for the items of boys 10 to 14 will be gratefully accepted. If you wish to assemble your own box, there is a stack of boxes and labels on the credenza in the foyer, and a group will be going to the Samaritan's Purse headquarters in Calgary on November 28th to take part in the final packing of the boxes. If you'd like to take part in this, talk to Wilma or Sandy. Sunday school teachers, they do a rotation, and they're a little short of teachers, which means that they have to teach more often. If there were more people, I think they'd like to get it to about a 6-week rotation. And so if you are willing and able to teach Sunday school every once in a while, if you could talk to Susan and Andrea, your help would be greatly appreciated. Any more announcements?
Thanks, Lori. Thank you. Okay, so now let's celebrate October birthdays. If anybody had a birthday in October, well, or until the end of October, which is tomorrow, or prior to that and we missed you, now is your opportunity. Thankful that Alice didn't bring pennies. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. The Lord Jesus says, "The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." We worship the Lord Jesus. Leading our choruses this morning, Howard has put together a boy band, and they are and they will lead us through our approach choruses. Thank you.
I'll take that as a compliment, because I never thought I'd ever be included in something like that. This is the inaugural presentation by the men's group, and I'm not really sure whose idea it was that there should be a men's group, but it just showed up in the music roster one day, men's group. So Ian phoned me, I think it was during the week, he said, what are we doing for the men's group? And I said, oh, don't worry, we've got it handled. There's a I coerced a few people to come up and sing. So, as I say, this is our first shot. So, anyway, we'll be doing some familiar choruses. And the first one we're going to do is Sing Praise, which we've done before. And we'll do it as a round. And so you get to participate. But for those that aren't familiar, we're going to start off. We'll sing it through twice. And then we'll break you into groups. So this group of pews here will sing with me, this group with Phil, and then Jaco and Dave will take the...
We'll give you a cue like this.
So when I wave, everyone jump up and start singing. So Dustin's going to lead us through one time, and then we'll go from there and see how this goes. Oh, and if I didn't say it, we're going to sing it twice, just to give you the feeling for it, and then we'll bring you in.
It's probably safest if you stand now.
Sing praise to the Spirit, three in one. to the sun, sing praise to the sun, sing praise, sing praise to the Spirit, three in one, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise to the Father, praise to the Son, sing praise to the Son, sing praise, sing praise to the Spirit, three in one, sing praise, sing praise,
sing praise.
That sounded great. Okay, we'll turn it over to Phil to get us started on our next chorus, Good to Me.
I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal me. I am weak, I need your love to free. My strength in weakness, come rescue me, O Lord. You are my hope, your promise never fails me, and my desire is to follow you forever. For you are good to me. I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal me. I am weak, I need your love to free me. Oh Lord, my rock, my strength in weakness, come rescue me, O Lord. You are my hope, your promise never fails me, and my desire is to follow you forever. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me.
And finally, to prepare our hearts for worship, we'll sing Be the Center.
Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light, Jesus, be the center, be my home, be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my God, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my God, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus.
Our grateful thanks to the men's band for leading us in our worship with the approach choruses there. Thank you so much. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you, Lord, that once again you have given to us this amazing opportunity, this great privilege of being able to come together in your house on this your day. And we pray, gracious Father, right at the beginning of our time of worship, that in this time when we come and we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, we seek to bring honor and glory to the name which is above every other name, we also ask, Father, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that each of us here this day, Lord, may hear your voice as you speak to us in some aspect of this time of worship and fellowship together. Bless us, gracious Father, as we meet, for we meet in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Okay, the Old Testament reading this morning is from Joshua, chapter 3, verses 7 to 17. And this is the parting of the sea to the promised land. And the Lord said to Joshua, Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carry the Ark reach the Jordan and their feet touch the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. And if you will join me in the responsive reading. And this is from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south.
Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away.
And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men.
Whoever is wise,
let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
I think we should offer a word of congratulations to Laurie for the names that she tackled within that Old Testament scripture reading. Well done, Laurie. I'm glad I didn't have to read them. So once again, we welcome back the men's group who will present for us special music. Thank you.
All right. Howard and I were trying to figure out what we were going to do for this. We batted around a few of the ones we'd done in the past, and nothing really piqued anyone's interest. And then I remembered that I had been asked to play at a wedding coming up in a couple of weeks, and I kind of hadn't looked at the music yet, so I thought it would be a good opportunity to give it a try, and it is a very nice piece. It was written by Johann Pachelbel, a German composer, who, like all struggling composers, had to make a living for himself. So he worked as an organist in a church in Germany for, I believe, 12 years. And this song was written between 1653 and 1706. It's called Canon in D.
Thank you.
was just incredible. Thank you so much, Dustin, Howard. Excellent. Where's this boy's mother? Is his mother here? Yes, she is. You've got to be proud of this guy, eh? That was excellent. Thank you so very much. That'd be a nice wedding. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to take these gifts and to take the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. The children would like to come and join me, please. I looked out this morning, I thought there aren't any children here, and then suddenly they all appear. Good to see you all. I got some questions again for you today. These are not trick questions, okay? Just straightforward questions. Who can tell me what month this is?
Me.
Two or three can. Come on then, Joel, you tell me. What month is it? October. That's right, October. Well done, Joel. The next question, a little bit harder. How many days are there in October? The bigger ones know. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, all who know, I want you to shout out how many days there are in October. One, two, three.
31!
40? 41?
31!
21? 31, that's right. Anything special happen on the 31st of October?
I know what her name is. Sophie, what is it?
Halloween.
Oh, I didn't think you would have said that. It's Sophie's birthday tomorrow. But you gave me the answer that I wanted to hear. It's Halloween. Okay, what do we do on Halloween? What's that all about? What do we do on Halloween? We go trick-or-treating, do we? What's that? What is trick-or-treating?
I'm trying to collect candy from other people's
house. Oh, it's collecting candy. That's what it's about. Okay. How do we do that? What do we do? Do we just go around and say, give me all your candy? What do we do? Why do we dress up?
Because it's fun day.
Oh, it's fun day. So when we dress up, it's kind of like a disguise, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
So we put on masks, do we? Some people put on masks and some people put costumes on. Yeah. And hats. So we're all disguised. Now, when you wear a disguise, which part of you is disguised? The inside of you or the outside of you?
Outside.
Yeah. The outside of you. The inside stays the same, that's right, isn't it? It's only the outside that's disguised. And in our Bible story today, Jesus confronts some people who Jesus said were wearing a disguise. They masked the outside and they pretended to be very nice and very excellent and upstanding and religious people. But Jesus said inside they were no different to anybody else. They were no better than anybody else. That's the way they were. So before God, can we be disguised in front of God? God knows what we're like, doesn't he? God knows all about us. He knows what we're like on the inside and he knows what we're like on the outside. Okay, Halloween. The real name for Halloween is All Hallows Eve. That's the real name, All Hallows Eve. And when it says it's the Eve, it means it's the night before something. Now then, do you know what it's the night before? That's the important thing, really. Because what?
I don't know.
No. Well, that's the special thing that we never remember, you see. It is the eve of what we call All Saints Day. November the 1st is All Saints Day. And on All Saints Day, we thank God for all of the people who've had a good Christian influence on our lives. People who have helped us to become the people that we are today. And that's the important thing, All Saints Day. So that's, don't forget that. When you're out trick-or-treating, you're having fun, and it is fun, also remember that the next day that we thank God for all of the really good people in our lives. Shall we say a little prayer together? Lord Jesus, we thank you that the very, very best person in our life is you. And we pray that you will continue to be with us, continue to bless us as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Kathy, okay. What you got?
What am I?
we stand and sing to the glory of God the hymn number 560, verses 1, 3, and 5 of For the Beauty of the Earth. At the church this morning, the little light on the answering machine was flashing, and when I checked to see what message was there, there's a message from my secretary Michelle. And Michelle was so looking forward to being here today, because Michelle is one of our group of mustard seed organisers, and she knew that Bill was coming and she wanted to come. And she's had a little accident fooling around with cows and a quad, and she's come off and broken her wrist. So I hope that you will keep Michelle in your prayers when you are praying your own personal prayers. She also mentioned the fact that because she's got a broken wrist, she will not be doing the bulletin for next week. So I'm not quite sure what kind of a bulletin you'll get next week, if any. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Once again, holy and gracious Father, we bow before your throne of grace, and we give thanks for another week in which you have revealed yourself to us in so many different ways. You come to us, Father, in many ways, but most of all, we see you as we encounter each other in our daily lives. You are there in the compassionate ways of those who accept us, no matter how inadequate or different we may be. You are there in the loving ways of those who love us unconditionally. You are there in the sacrificing ways of those who give of themselves, who give of their time and their energy and their lives. And you are there, Father, in the forgiving ways of those who forgive us, even for sometimes seemingly our unforgivable deeds. We confess, Lord, that so very often our lives are so full of ourselves and seeing to our own well-being that we fail to perceive your holy presence in our lives. And very often, Lord, because of the noise of the world, we do not hear your voice. We pray that you will help us, Father, to slow down, to be more perceptive of your glory, which is all around us. Help us, Lord, to look around and to see your world, to see your creations, to see your love shining from the lives and from the faces of the people, our friends that we encounter. God of all ages, we praise you for all the saints who have enriched our lives as they have done justice, as they have loved mercy, and as they have walked humbly with their God. We praise you, Lord, and we especially honor the memory of those individuals from our own church family, from our own families, who have lived among us and shared their faith in so many personal ways. And we are thankful for, and we also honor those who have graced our lives at other times and in other ways. And we pause in silent tribute to all of your saints. We thank you again, Father, for our church family and for the joys and for the privileges of worship. We are conscious at this time, Lord, of our friends who are not here today. We miss them. And we know, Lord, that you miss them too. And so wherever they are, whatever they are doing, we pray, Lord, that you will watch over them, that you will bless them, and that you will grant them your grace. And now, in the silence and in the beauty of holiness, we whisper the names before the throne of grace of those whom we care for and those who we are worrying about at this time. We pray in silence. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray that in the week ahead that you will help us to live our lives to your glory. And in so doing, we pray that we may be your channel of blessing to reach out and touch the life of another. And maybe even, Father, play a small part in the much rejoicing that takes place in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Bless us, Father, as we pray. As we pray through Christ our Lord and for his sake. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. First reading this morning comes from Matthew 23, verses 1 to 12, and it's where Jesus is warning all of his people and disciples about the religious leaders of that time, because they put an awful lot of importance in themselves and the rules that they made more importance than the rules and teachings of God. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "Teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have the men call them rabbi. But they are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you only have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you only have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Second reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 13. This is Paul speaking, remembering his visit to Thessalonica. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and our hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live the lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you and in you who believe.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks to Bill for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory, the hymn 441, Take Time to Be Holy. It's a great joy for us to welcome to our church the Reverend Bill Nixon. And Bill has, I think for the past 10 years now, he's been working for and with the Mustard Seed. And I know from the conversation that he and I had, he is a very, very busy man. And so we very much appreciate him taking the time out to come to our church here and to join us for today's service. Thank you, Bill. Please welcome Bill.
Thank you, Pastor Ian. Anybody knows Pastor Ian has this bad habit of picking passages for people to read in public that have really tough words in them? What's that all about? And you all did very well, but I just thought, oh, boy, you know. My name is Bill Nixon. I've been working at the Mustard Seed 10 years, and you've been working at the Mustard Seed for 28 years, so I kind of work for you, I think, so... That's awesome. And a little later on, we have a plaque we want to hand out. Would it be all right? Can we do that at the lunch? Would that be fine, do you think?
Absolutely.
Okay. That'd be great. And I have notes here, and I may even get to them, possibly. But when Pastor Ian was praying, he quoted from one of my favorite scriptures, Micah chapter 6, verse 8, where it says, "I have shown you, O man, what I desire of you, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in the presence of God." And I feel a little like I'm preaching to the choir this morning, because I know you understand those things, but isn't that a great verse? Think about what that verse says. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in the presence of God. And I've had a lot of opportunity to work through that verse over the years. And that passage is really an interesting passage, because basically Israel is on trial in that chapter. And God is the prosecuting attorney, and he is the judge in that chapter. And he's saying to them, "You have not been faithful." Now, this church doesn't know anything about that. I just walked in the building and I kind of went, you know. By the way, this is a remarkable man. I met him and you guys are so lucky to have this man. Could you give him a little round of applause? That's $10. Anyway. But it's an interesting passage, because in that passage, what God is saying is, "I've done these things for you. I've been faithful to you, and you have not been faithful to me." And Israel, on trial, comes back to God with a snotty answer, really. And they say, "Well, just what did you want from us anyway, God?" And he says, "I have shown you, O man, what I desire of you. To do justice." Well, what does justice look like? I have a great hero in my life. I have many great heroes in my life. But this young man is especially a great hero in my life. One day, when he went to school, this is a few years back, for the first time, he showed up at a Christian school, and he was wandering around the playground trying to figure out, he didn't know anybody, just trying to figure out who's who and who he's going to hang out with. And he did good. He met some friends really quickly. At the end of his first week in this school, his father gets a phone call from the principal of the school. Now, there is nobody actually wants to get a... Is there anybody a principal here? Related to principal? Nobody wants that phone call, okay? They're all great people, but nobody wants to get that call. Your son's in grade 4 and you get a principal of the school calling. You're like, what could he possibly have done? He's in grade 4 and you go down there. And so this man goes down to hear about, you know, what's going on. And he gets there and the principal calls him in and says, "We want to tell you a story about your son. Your son showed up the first day of school. He didn't know anybody, but he met some friends really quickly. But there was another little boy that showed up that day, and it was 75 degrees outside, and he was wearing a parka with the hood tied up as tightly as he could around his head and woolen mittens. And none of the other children wanted anything to do with that little boy. They just kept their distance. And we watched your son on the fourth day of school as he walked across the playground. And he took this little boy, Timmy, by the hand. And he brought him over to his new group of friends. And he said, 'This is my friend Timmy, and Timmy's going to hang out with us from now on.'" See, that's justice. That's when you look beyond the outside and you see what God sees on the inside, and you say, "He belongs to us now." For 28 years, this church has gone down and served meals to some of the most amazing people you will ever meet in your life. I call them my homeless neighbors. Because what does the Bible tell us? To love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. So when you were down there serving meals and meeting people and blessing people, you were caring for your neighbors. And that's what that little boy does. He's doing justice. He's looking beyond what people look like. And that would be an amazing story for that. That's why that little boy's my hero. That little boy's my son, by the way. He's not little anymore. He's 16. He's about 6'3", and he mostly grunts at 16. What is it with 16-year-olds? He's got a phone with a texting plan. He grunts when he texts. It's just... But that little boy, he didn't belong. He didn't fit. Nobody could see past the parka and the mitts. But my son could. And he brought him over to his friends. And to this day, if you went up to that group of four boys and said, who's your best friend in the world? They all say Timmy. They love Timmy. And Timmy is just as geeky as he ever was. Let me tell you, he had dinner at my house last week. But he doesn't know it. Because he's hanging out with the cool kids. And the great part is the cool kids don't know it, and they're hanging out with him. They've changed his life. By doing what? Just by taking him by the hand and saying, you belong to us. That little boy was raised by his mother and his uncle. 2 years after my son did that, Timmy's mother dies. He was being raised by his uncle. He had never met his father, even though his dad lived in the same town. 2.5 years after his mother dies, Timmy's uncle dies. And Timmy met his dad for the first time at his uncle's funeral. Who's that little boy's family? It's those four boys. Isn't that awesome? See, that's doing justice. And again, I know I'm telling people that already get this, you know, this message. But don't you love, it goes on from there and it says to do justice and it says to love mercy. It does not say to do mercy. It says to love it, to adore it, to embrace it, to have that, the great passion in your life is to you know, build that bridge between people that need you to build that bridge, whether it be between you as neighbors or between them and the Lord. Whatever it is, to love mercy. And I love that little clause. It's almost like this little clause at the bottom of that verse where it says, and to walk humbly in the presence of God. And I can remember all these years looking at that and going, why does it say that? I mean, isn't that a given, really, when you think about it? Why does it? Because remember what he's doing. Israel has said, you know what? We don't know what you want. And God's saying to them, I'm telling you what I want. To do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly in the presence of God. And I remember one day where the lights went on. Why it says that is very simple. It says that because of this. If you will do justice, if you will love mercy, please don't tell my mother I pointed. She's always after me about pointing.
What's your phone number?
She lives 10 houses away from me, so she'll, you know, she'd be right over. Anyway, I was 51 years of age. I lost my car keys the other day, and my mother had to come and bring me my spare car, my car key. It was like... But if you will do justice, if you will love mercy, you better learn what it means to walk humbly in the presence of God, because God will put you into rooms, into situations where that's all you've got. And that's okay, because that's when ministry takes place. You see, when we have things that we can get our hands on and we can fix and we can do, and you know, we did this and we did that, that's all awesome. There's nothing wrong with some of those things. But real ministry takes place when we have nothing. All we've got is God. This man's been in those rooms. And there are people in this room this morning. You've been in those rooms where you've walked into those rooms and went, I have nothing, Lord. And God somehow shows up and ministry takes place. And sometimes that's going to serve at a place like the mustard seed, where you're going to make a meal and to serve people who are hungry. And that's awesome. But the ministry stuff is when you get to talk to somebody and hear their story. And you get to pray for them. And you get to care for them. And you get to let them know that the love of Christ does compel us to care for people out there. I call it 1 Peter principle. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have within you. Because when you do it right, if you will live out what Micah chapter 6 verse 8 says, people will ask you the question, why are you doing this for me? And you get to tell them. because the love of Christ tells me to. They ask you a question. People love it when you answer their questions. It's way easier. Now, this is going to shock you. You guys ready to be shocked? Everybody say, I'm ready to be shocked. Okay, this is going to be shocking for you. You ready? Well, some of you may not be shocked, but others might be. Okay. The end of April, I was homeless. Are you shocked? For 3 days. We came up with this great plan. I did it a couple years ago. I came up with this idea. Wouldn't it be great if we took a couple of pastors, 3, 4, 5, we actually had 10 signed up and 6 bailed out the last minute. And we went and lived on the streets of Calgary like homeless people for 3 days. You might have seen it. It was on the news. Global did it. Some other people did some stories on it. Well, here's the thing. 4 of them kind of bailed on, or 6 bailed on us. 4 of them were pretty good friends of mine. They showed up, and they weren't even, I mean, these guys really went for it. One of my real good friends, Chris, Pastor Chris from Mid Park Church, he grew a beard for 4 months just in preparation for this thing. And he showed up that day, and he smelled something awful. It was, I mean, really bad, you know. We almost didn't let him in the building. We almost didn't know it was him. But we're out there, and this was the whole program for 3 days. And if you remember the end of April last year, it snowed for the last 3 days of April. So it was like, we really picked great time to do this. And nobody in the shelter knew anybody was coming. We didn't tell anybody. This was the whole the whole plan was, we're out there, we're on the streets, and all we had, we left the mustard seed on Wednesday morning. We gave each of us a bus ticket and a story. And the story was who we were. We couldn't be, you know, Bill Nixon, you know, director from the mustard seed. I think my name was Colin, Bill Collins, and I had a head injury, and I was, all this different stuff I had to remember. And I had a head injury, so I couldn't remember any of it. But anyway. And we had a bus ticket. So my buddy Grant Weber from the First Alliance, he says, well, what are we going to do for money? Well, we had to go dumpster diving, right? Day one, we're out there, and the problem with dumpster diving is you got to go right to the bottom to find the really good bottles. And we're out there, and we got our buggy, and we're walking along, and somebody texts us. We were high-tech homeless people, and says, they're feeding people out in front of the city hall right now. And so we take our half buggy of bottles from in our Safeway buggy, and we're rushing down the street trying to get to city hall before they stop making burgers in the middle of this terrible snowstorm. Right? I mean, bless those people out there making burgers for the homeless in the snowstorm. But we get out there, and here's what happened to us. This was our experience on the street. Lady comes out from behind where she's making these burgers, and she walks up to us and says, do you people know Jesus? We were you people now. You people know Jesus? And we said, no, because the script said that we didn't, right? And she said this, you know you're all going to hell, don't you? And I'm thinking, well, that was the love of Christ. I feel all warm inside now. And she, this poor, I mean, I felt bad for her. These are 4 pastors that she's telling this to, and she's like, you know, and Pastor Blake from the Alliance Church, he's like doing this, and he's like, you know, you know, I get the theology. I get it, but we didn't get any concept that God loved us out of that. We just felt judged in a way that we would never have understood if we hadn't gone out there as homeless people to understand what that was about. We didn't feel cared for. The next day, these 4 pastors at the shelter. Now, Grant Weber was like the worst homeless person in the world. He texted his mother, and his mother brought him a pillow to the shelter. So this fella, one of my homeless neighbors who's staying at the shelter where you've gone down and fed people, you need to know how encouraging that is to them, but you need to know how awesome some of these people are. He goes and he looks at these 4 pastors, and he walks up to them at their table they're sitting at one day, on that the very next day. So one day we're told we're all going to hell. The next day this fella comes up and he said, you guys are like the worst homeless people in the world. He says to them, like, I don't know where you're from, I don't know what this is about, but I could, like, you guys, you're terrible at this. And he's worried for them. And he says, I want you to know the best times in my life, I was walking close with my family, and I was walking close with Jesus. You tell me who proclaimed the gospel to those pastors while they were on the street. And he proceeded to tell them that Jesus died for them and that Jesus loved them. And if they would just place their life in God's hands, they were going to be okay. Isn't that awesome? See, that's another one of my heroes. My son's one of my heroes because he went across the playground. He saw past the stuff and he went and he brought this young man over and said, we're going to do justice. We're going to love mercy. We're going to walk humbly in the presence of God. But did that homeless man do anything different? Of course not. He did exactly the same thing. He reached out beyond his circumstances, saw people that were just lost, and he came to them and said, you need to get this thing figured out with God. God loves you. Later that afternoon, my buddy Grant and I, you couldn't set this stuff up, Pastor Ian, if you tried. You really couldn't. We were going down the street with our, we finally got our buggy filled with bottles. And we think we have a small fortune. So we're going to go hand in our bottles. It was $22, right? And Grant never did give me the $11. I was supposed to get half of that, but we're going down the street. And we see this blonde-haired lady looking at us, and she comes walking up towards us, and you can see her eyes go, aha, homeless people. Avert her eyes and walk as wide as you could and not get hit by a car down the street. And just as she's sort of getting, you know, right up beside us, my buddy Grant goes, he says, hey, Amanda, how's it going? And she speeds up because there's some homeless person knows her name. And he says, no, no, Amanda, it's me. And she stops and she looks back. And their families had spent the previous Christmas together. And their office space they shared for 3 years, their desks had faced each other. But from a distance, she just saw a homeless person and just walked around. You see, the Bible says we're to do justice, we're to love mercy, we're to walk humbly in the presence of God. But it also says we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And literally, what it says is you can't do one without doing the other, really. So who are our neighbors? Who are the Timothys in our lives? Who are the men and the women that God would have us to reach out beyond ourselves? Sometimes they're our family. Sometimes they're our friends. Sometimes there's people out on the street that just need you to care for them. By simply acknowledging their existence, it changes their lives somehow. And again, I'm preaching to the choir. Pastor Ian lectured me for quite some time about how awesome you people are. The Bible is so clear that we are to be a light in a dark place. We are to be a light on a hill. We're not to hide that light. We are to let that light shine to touch other people's lives. We're to be like my homeless neighbor in that shelter when he looked out and he saw these four pitiful men living in a shelter that clearly had no clue what was going on. We're to be like him, aren't we? To walk up to people we don't even know sometimes and say, the best times of my life, I was walking close with my family and I was walking close with Jesus. It's amazing what happens when you just stand up and be who God's called you to be. It's amazing what takes place all around us when we just do what God tells us to do. To do justice, which you understand, to love mercy, to walk humbly in the presence of God. You probably thought at times when you were going down there and serving meals, you were serving meals. You're not. You probably thought when you have a pail or whatever we got in the hallway there where people are putting in clothing and socks and things like that, that was about clothing and socks and things like that. You probably thought that when you make an offering or a donation to places like the Mustard Seed, that was about money. You probably, some of you thought that you wondered, does it make that big a difference overall? I'm telling you, it's amazing the difference when people of faith reach out beyond themselves and care for people around them. Lives change forever, and sometimes that change is eternal. People come to Christ. It's not a sandwich. It's not a bowl of soup. It's not whatever awesome meal you made. Those are all there. It's the love of Christ being manifest to a lost world. And for that, you have my thanks and the Mustard Seeds of Ministries thanks. And thank you for letting me come and share with you this morning. Did I stay within my 15, 20 minutes? Excellent. Because he sent me that in an email too in red.
I just work it.
You know, I was kind of thinking that we'll have our Mustard Seed representatives up here. But wouldn't it be nice if we had our two ladies who are here, who went to the original one and to the final one? Kareem and Joyce.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate very much having Bill here today with us from the Mustard Seed. Your talk was inspiring, entertaining, and all the good things that it should be, and well within the time limits. After the service, when we have our what we call our Mustard Seed meal, we're having some soup and bread rolls and squares and what have you, and we express our appreciation to the people who have prepared that for us. We really do thank you for that. But also there'll be an offering plate there, and anything that you place in that plate will be going via Charlie, our treasurer, to the mustard seed. Okay, so we're continuing to support the mustard seed, and we're kind of envisaging that we might do something like this on an annual basis, to have a mustard seed supper or lunchtime towards the end of October. Yes, Bill?
Could I come back?
Would you? Yes, please. We'll put you right on the calendar. For our closing hymns, we stand and we sing to the glory of God. First of all, hymn 438, Cleanse Me.
Jesus, we pray.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.